back here on the Mighty 690 at 8:10, and it is time for our Ask the Expert segment. And we have Scott Schultz of Morningstar Care Homes who joins us on the line. Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Morning, James. Doing great.
Hey, it's great to have you on here today, and it was just wonderful to have your staff and everyone over at the farm show here this last weekend. I mean, I know that was a lot of fun, and it was a really great people being able to stop by and check out your booth, and you guys had some great giveaways, too.
It was a lot of fun. Jackie loved it, loved talking to some wonderful people, and, you know, as the word's getting out about us, and travels, we're up about 10%. We really just have a few spaces remaining in our homes, so we're pretty excited right now.
Hey, that's wonderful. And I know that, like I was talking with Jackie over there, she said, you know, people have been taking advantage of that move-in special that you have. That wraps up here, I think, on Friday, if that's correct. I know that you've been offering that that good deal for people, 1 month free if you move in by the end of the month, right?
Yes, sir, we have been, and a lot of people have taken advantage of it. It's a huge value.
No, that sure is, and we're all looking to save some money. So that is really great. So what do you want to talk about here today, Scott? I know that we always kind of like to highlight a little bit of a topic here. So what are you thinking here today?
Well, I'm thinking that I'd like to speak more today to the folks that are helping an elderly person decide what's best for them in terms of their living arrangements as they age. It's usually their legal representative, maybe their spouse or their adult children. And there's always a lot of fear and uncertainty, I should say, about moving a loved one into assisted living. And our big focus, James, during this process is we understand the folks may feel guilty. They may think, well, this may be best for the person, but I don't know if I can make that decision. It's really hard, and I understand it because, you know, I'm 61, and my parents, my birth parents, are still married. They still live at home. My dad's 87, and my mom's 85, and they're able to help each other, and that's a tremendous burden off me because I live about an hour and a half away from them, but you know, my dad was business partners on a farm and ranch operation with his brother, and his brother's about 89 and moved into an assisted living this year, and so it's very much on our minds. And so a little story, I traveled yesterday to be with my dad because some of the people who run his operation were burning the pastures. You know, this time of year, the stockmen get out and burn off the dead grass and get the new growth started for the grazing season. And he wanted to go out and participate in that. And I thought, well, maybe I should go out there just to make sure things go okay. And sure enough, his old farm truck broke a radiator hose while I was there. And so I took another old truck and hooked up a log chain and towed him out to the road. Now, the fires were about a half mile away. It wasn't imminent danger, but he was pretty happy to see someone come and help. So, you know, we're right in the thick of this thing with our listeners, and I just wanted to chat with them today about the difficulties of the process.
Oh yeah, no, then that's a great point. And you know, we get to the point where we realize that, you know, unfortunately not everything can stay the same, and you know, that's really a tough thing to realize. But what are some of the areas people have concerns about prior to moving in a loved one?
Usually, James, the discussion revolves around things like how will I now manage their medication, or how will their meals go, and what furniture and other things will they need to bring? What about the activities? Is there something for them to do? But, you know, there's so much more that comes with the move than just those first few things that people need to be reassured about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, let's dive into a few of these areas that you've mentioned and perhaps some that you haven't. I mean, obviously, you know, mealtime seems like it would be very important.
You bet. In our places, the meal is a very big deal, a very big focus of the day. And it's why we emphasize with our dietary staff, our cooks, to do scratch cooking as often as they can. So when the resident comes to the dining room, they're experiencing something similar to when they lived at home. And there are also, James, many things behind that. In how we plan the meals, we do have a registered dietitian advising us, and they have to strike a balance between what we all love and will certainly want as we age is some food that comforts us. And so how much, if I could call it junk food, is okay, and how much food is necessary for the residents to have nutritional value as their systems, their bones, and skeletal structures age and that sort of thing. But an advantage is, you know, there's no more shopping. We have the unprepared food brought to the home and delivered. There are no more concerns about meal preparation and the safety issues that can arise with that, like leaving the range on after something's cooked, or just having an open flame on a gas stove, that sort of thing. And our cooks are on staff 10 hours a day, so residents don't have to eat at assigned times. There are snacks. There are substitutions in the meals. If someone, right now we're in Holy Week, so many people might want fish to be available or might want to avoid meat this week. And so we're ready for all those situations. And, you know, we're also ready, James, to understand that maybe a person doesn't have a great appetite, and it might be the social things that they're going through in their lives, or it might be something more that's physiological. And so we're very focused on, quite frankly, how much food they do take in because they need that nutrition.
Well, sure. That's a great reminder. I did want to ask you, you know, obviously, you know, the fact that the residents don't have to worry about meals anymore, you know, and preparing them, that really is a big lift, I feel like. But, you know, there may be that person who, oh, perhaps they might enjoy, you know, every once in a while being able to make something themselves, you know, for a special occasion, that sort of thing. Is there ever an option for them to do that?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. And I remember bringing a microwave, for example, into one of the residents' rooms, and he was just so delighted and wanted to pay for it. And I said, no, you know, part of it is if the person's capable, we want to make sure that they can prepare a meal or a snack. And they're certainly welcome to have a family member or a loved one or even one of our caregivers bring in a Sonic burger or to go out with their families to eat. So the variety remains that they've always enjoyed.
Well, that is great. Let's turn our focus maybe a little bit on, you know, medications. You know, I'm guessing medications are sometimes a hassle for families since we, you know, tend to be, the fact of the matter is, you know, we're usually prescribed more drugs as we age.
Certainly, James. And, you know, my parents, I think, are fortunate in that they just have a few medications each, maybe five or less, but it's not unusual to see 10 or more prescriptions being filled for people who come to live with us, and it's a lot to keep track of. You know, each time a person goes to see maybe a different specialist, one of the first questions will be, do you have your medication list? And, you know, we don't really manage medications with a list. We frankly kind of manage it with the bottles of medications we receive and maybe a pill minder type system. But those are just things people don't think about, and they kind of depend on their doctor or the pharmacist to manage. But even beyond the list, even if the pharmacy delivers to the person's home before they move in, I know there's complications with the medications getting refilled in a timely manner, and the medications are running low, and it ends up becoming a hassle, whether it's through insurance companies or other issues. I've also seen that folks being at home independently, they really don't want to be a burden to their children. They just like asking for help, and they also have always enjoyed the privacy of managing their own health issues, and they may not particularly want to share how they're feeling with someone else. So as the family caregiver, assisting that elderly person, starts to observe this, or maybe they observe the person's having a little trouble remembering, did I take everything in the right dosage and at the right time of day that I was supposed to? You know, it's relief often to have a nurse, a registered nurse or an LPN, really take over that process of Morningstar. They interact with the doctors. They don't just have a list of medications, but a daily record and time of when each med was given or administered to the resident. They keep the meds locked up so no one gets any meds they shouldn't. You know, they're on top of the new physician's orders for medications and whether that medication needs to be taken with food or taken before a meal. There's just a lot of details that come into it, and it covers everything. James, eye drops and catheter or colostomy care. There's a whole range of resident care issues that are suddenly lifted from that family caregiver.
Well, that is great. And I know just for, you know, some of our folks, you know, like us who are just a little bit younger, even keeping track of a couple medications, you know, remembering to take those, that can be challenging enough, and especially harder as we get a little bit older. We are talking with Scott Schultz here, Morningstar Care Homes, with locations in Neodesha and Fredonia. And Scott, what about the topic of furniture? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We always want the resident to know that they can furnish their own room with everything they like if they have that sort of availability to, you know, bring along their own things. But, you know, sometimes some upgrades might be needed. Maybe they've had the same mattress on a large double bed or king-size bed, and now the best thing might be to have a brand-new single bed. So we start with a move-in list, and it isn't just the chairs and dressers and wall hangings and everything large, but it goes down to the smallest details like toothpaste and deodorant, that sort of thing. It's not unusual also for us to step in and provide some things out of our own stock if there's something missing. And then, of course, you've got the task of physically moving the furniture, which we stand ready to do because families, you know, don't relish that job. But, you know, the big thing again, James, is if we can have a room filled with familiar things, that's going to make the move-in process more smooth because they come in and they see the same favorite chair or the same favorite wall hanging they've always had or the photo album. And those are the things that I think really create home right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. No, that really, I think, you know, makes it comforting to have those things from home. And then another thing that, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of questions about is activities. You know, what is there to do? I'm sure that must come up in your conversations here.
Well, it does. And you know, it's surprisingly kind of a sensitive area, which might not be expected. But we have a primary goal, and it's what we call engaging the resident. What we mean is their entire life holistically, their spiritual, emotional, physical, mental well-being needs to be engaged and addressed. And we want them to have a great experience every day they're with us. And so we start off understanding what are the person's interests, what was their past job, and we try to meet their desires, so we get that information from the family. But I think what makes it sensitive is that the family may have expectations that their loved one will now develop new interests. And we become in patterns as we age, and I think that I certainly see this in my own life, and it isn't maybe a normal situation for those patterns to change. And so we're certainly going to have scheduled activities. We'll have everything from bingo to holiday and birthday parties, musicians who come in, school children come in and do art or things like that. But again, our main goal is really to fully engage that resident every day. And so I'll often ask a family member a question and return to their question about what there is to do. I'll say, well, what does your mom like to do now? And James, what would you guess might be a main thing they mention?
Well, you know, I would think that I know the, a lot of people, they got the TV on quite a bit, and I'm sure that could sometimes suck a lot of the oxygen out of the room as far as, you know, a lot of TV watching.
It does. It, just to be honest, that's right. And I remember watching the old TV sitcom, Frasier. His father lived with him, and his name was Martin, and he had this rowdy old recliner in Frasier's beautiful skyline apartment overlooking Seattle, and he really just spent most of his time with the TV remote in his hand. His dog might come by, or people were coming and going, but he really didn't have a lot of other things going on. So if that character I'm describing, Martin, moved into an assisted living facility, they often don't change just because the environment changes. It often takes a lot of coaxing to get them to participate in things. And we want to meet their, we want to honor their wishes. We don't want to superimpose what we think is best on their wishes. And so that's why I say it's sensitive, you know.
Yeah.
But, going back to this whole idea of engagement, you know, we want to engage their spirituality. We have church come in. If, say they're a reader, we have libraries with books. We do invite them into these group activities, and we know that if they've always had a more introverted personality, that it's going to be harder. We know that simple things like a wireless headset or making sure that they have hearing aids that are working help them listen to the radio or television and that sort of thing. But, you know, in the real world, just getting up, getting ready, dressed for breakfast, having your medications, that can wear a person out by 9 a.m., and they're ready to sit down and have a rest in the morning. So a lot of the activities take place in the afternoon. And it makes me also think, James, of exercise. You know, we both of my mother and my wife's mother have had strokes, and, boy, getting them to just walk around the house a little bit is sometimes a major accomplishment. But here, you know, the residents are walking from their room down to the activity and dining room 3 to 4 times a day. And so a lot of times the activity increases. And, you know, frankly, the risk of falling may decrease because there's other people making sure that if they use a walker, they're using it to get to the areas they go to and that sort of thing. So it's all built in when they come to Morningstar. And I just think all those things end up really causing the resident to have a great experience.
Well, that is great. And, you know, I just love the fact that, you know, you provide all these things for the residents, and, you know, it's really up to them as far as, you know, how much they want to interact with these things. But, you know, just they know that the door is open and, you know, might encourage them to try something new. And we know from a neurological perspective, that's always great when you do new things. You know, I think we've covered a lot of the big categories here. But, you know, what else might concern a family member and perhaps cause them to delay moving their ones to Morningstar?
Well, I think it comes back to what I mentioned in the beginning, is that the person thinks to themselves, well, it's a negative to move my person into a quote, you know, nursing home. But assisted living facilities are really there to provide life. They're not really a place you go at the end. And I think that's one of the big burdens that people have to overcome. But boy, they might learn on their tour that we have therapy that can help strengthen their loved one, or we can manage those assistive devices, everything from walkers to wheelchairs or what have you. Their emergency needs are going to be met. Their bathing and hygiene will be met. We're ready for mental health, memory issues, maintenance issues are all taken care of. It's safer, and they don't have to worry about their loved one having to drive certain places. Sometimes that's a concern. So, you know, there's a lot. Like I say, it's a deep topic. I have a lot of empathy because I'm there myself, but also because it's what we do. We really just try to help people decide.
Well, that is great, Scott. And I know that you provide a lot of really good resources to folks who are trying to make these decisions, and it's a tough one. But I know that you're able to help guide everyone throughout this whole time. So as we kind of get close to the end of our time here today, Scott, it seems like there are a lot of advantages to living with you guys over at Morningstar. And again, that hard decision. But what final advice might you provide to families who are listening here this morning?
I think I'd say a couple things. Give us a couple months with the person if you're undecided, and reevaluate. If they've been with us 60 days and they're doing pretty well, maybe they want to move back home. And we've actually had success helping people stabilize their health care and get a little better, and then they return home, and we rejoice in that. It's a fortunate situation when that can happen. The other thing, though, is that we really know that once they've experienced it, they'll probably realize that the advantages of their loved one being there are pretty obvious. And they're avoiding those multiple moves through independent apartments and into skilled care and that sort of thing. They might move two or three times. We have that continuum of care model that takes them through, and we like to say it can be their forever home. It's a place where we want them to enjoy living for the rest of their lives. And so I think just trying it out often is a win-win, no matter what the outcome is, whether it's to remain or to try something different.
All right. Well, Scott, we really appreciate you coming on by here today. And if folks are interested in learning more about Morningstar Care Homes with locations in Neodesha and Fredonia, what's the website that they could head out to? What's a good phone number to call? And can you just fill us in on all that?
Sure. The website is morningstarcarehomes.com, and there's some nice photos and videos on there and some good resource material. They can dial Neodesha at 620-325-2244, or they can reach our Fredonia facility at 620-378-2329.
All right, Scott. Well, I really appreciate you coming on by here this morning. Hope folks can check out your offerings at Morningstar Care Homes and, be considering that decision. And I know you always encourage folks to stop on by. So thank you so much for coming on by here this morning, Scott. And I look forward to having another update from Morningstar here in a couple weeks.
Thanks, James. Great to visit with you.
All right. Thank you so much. And coming up next, we have Jerry Moran. His office is going to be calling in here in moments on KGGF.